Welcome back to Movie Trailer Reviews Podcast. This is your host Chris here with Ro and Brandon, and we are here to review Jordan Peele's newest horror film, Us. A family's serenity turns to chaos when a group of doppelgangers begins to terrorize them. It is directed by Jordan Peele. It is written by Jordan Peele. It stars Lupita Nyong'o, Winston Duke, Elizabeth Moss. Who else is, you know what? I'm just going to go right into it.
The guy is produced by Jordan Peele.
Yeah, he's got the triple header.
He had a lot of commas when his name was shown.
Yeah. It's directed by, written by, and produced by Jordan Peele. So, all right, let's jump right into this. What do you guys think of this movie?
Bro can go.
Thank you, B. But I really liked this movie. I thought it was nice and layered and nuanced and had all the elements of a classic horror movie that, you know, fits up my alley, more disturbing than just simple suspense. And if they don't give Lupita all of the awards, I'm going to burn something down. You know, just to start.
Okay. I thought it was phenomenal. I thought it was a step above the crazies. I appreciated the fact that he had stuff on display in front of you to kind of help you, to help guide you along to the story. If you are at the end of this film and you're lost, think about some of the things you've seen because the messages are right there in front of you. And I think Elizabeth Moss as well deserves all the kudos because she has come a long fucking way into being just a phenomenal actress as well. Like, and the kids, man, the casting for this, I wish I could have been there, because for you to be able to cast this number of people that would have to play doppelganger roles, your cast calling had to be insane, especially for the kids. So I think Jordan Peele did a lot with this, and I think this will end up becoming a classic in years to come. But so far right now, I think it is a phenomenal piece of horror production and sci-fi sprinkled in all throughout.
Cool. So here's the thing. I'm going to need to see it again. And I hate the fact that I have to review this without having seen it twice. I liked it, but I'm going to say that I don't think this is this is not a fault of the film. I knew the ending when the movie started, and I think that affected my first viewing of the film. And I don't think it's the fault of the film. I just think it's something that it just stuck out to me. And so I was kind of watching it the entire time, knowing how it was going to end. And I don't know. I liked it, but I don't think it like affected me as much as in terms of enjoyment as other people did. Like Shanti she's going to do a spoiler review with it, but she loved it. And I think a lot of people in our theater liked it. But for me, I don't know. I felt like I was missing something. And the more and more I thought about it, the more and more I was like, I think it's because I knew the ending by the time I watched from the beginning.
I clocked it.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not hard. It's not a hard thing. Although there's definitely people in our theater who were shocked by that. But I don't know. I think maybe it's also just I'm still processing the film, because there's a lot in this film. This is a film that has an awful lot in it and does a lot. And I want to say it's not a long runtime either, isn't it? It's under 2 hours, isn't it?
It doesn't feel long if it is long.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a heavy list. So my muted reaction to it, I don't think is necessarily about the quality of the film. It's that I'm still thinking about it. Does that make
sense?
I get what you're saying. And my 6 minute ride home in the car was just me going, I thought I knew how this was going in when it started, and I'm kind of confused at the ending, but I got it, but I'm confused, and I couldn't figure out exactly why I was confused. And it was because I really needed to mull over all of the shit that happened in the middle that I had so many questions about. So that's what perplexed me the most about this film. I was watching people do things that I didn't think made any sense. And by people, I mean Lupita. The main character in this, I did not understand what her motivations were or why she did things at certain points that just didn't make sense. And then when they did the reveal, which I knew, I was like, I still don't understand what the fuck. And then when I was riding home in the car, I started going back over all of the stuff that she did and doing like whole wrap up callbacks and stuff like that in my head. And I was like, oh, that's why she did this. Oh, that's why that's what this meant. That's why they did it this way. That's why she was acting that way. That's what her motivations were. That's where her emotion was coming from. Okay, I got it now. This motherfucker Jordan Peele's a genius. Like, that's pretty much where I landed at. It's a film that you can easily figure out what the ending is from the beginning. It's all the stuff in the middle, I think, that really makes this film more than just like a typical horror film with some sci-fi elements to it. Just a typical, oh, these are the crazies or some type of body snatchers type shit. Like, you can get horrified by that stuff. And there are people who are going to have jump scares throughout this because they're there and you get that entertainment of it. But I think this story is way darker the more you think about it and the more you dig into all the little subtle subplot elements that they don't necessarily put on display for you, but is there once you start to really think about what this film's story is. It seems simple, but then
there's a lot of stuff in it. There's a lot of stuff in the middle.
That's fucked up. That's fucked up. Yo, if they were doing this, then that's fucked up. If they were doing that, then that's fucked up. Like, the whole, you have to see this more than one time. You just have to. Because Lupita's speech, when they finally, like, when she finally gets in the house and the Lupita that we see in the trailer is crazy Lupita, that fucking speech is very important. It's very important to the story. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that till far later in the film where I was confused. So now I want to go back again just to listen to that Negro from the mountaintop speech that she story that she told. Because she definitely sounded like a freed slave during that whole shit. And I was like, what the hell is this movie about?
Well, I think that's one of the things that I really like about this. Maybe it's just the type of brand of horror and sci-fi that I like. But I felt like, you know, he took the best elements out of like the crazies in Last House on the Left and all the different things, like a little bit, you know, a little extra Hitchcock and Craven in there. And then he got just slightly Fellini on some folks. But when it comes to the story content, I think this was a very straightforward story. And I think a lot of people are running around in circles trying to convince themselves that it has to be more complicated than what he gave us. And I think one of the primary reasons why is because the driving force of this family at its core is a Black family. And they're not used to a Black nuclear family being at the core of this type of horror movie. And I think it made people reinterpret certain things or overlook things that had a deeper significance when it came to the themes that were playing out in this movie. This is my favorite kind of horror movie in the sense that all of the messaging and all of the themes that exist in this movie are right in front of your face. Like, yeah, I clocked when they were on, you know, with the opening of the movie without giving anything away. I clocked what was happening, or at least what was going to be the wraparound, you know, quote unquote reveal or twist moment on the boardwalk. But I wasn't sure about was all of the different elements that were going to exist in this journey. Like, you got a sense that this movie anchors off of Adelaide or Lupita's character because of the poster. Mm-hmm. But once you truly realize, and can we talk about young Adelaide in the movie? That little girl and her face.
So was that the Madison? Is her name Madison something? Because it said it had one like an
Madison Curry. Yeah, no,
so that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so
that introducing Madison Curry. I figured that was her.
That's a hell of an introduction. That young lady is skilled, and she doesn't need a single word. I mean, she reminded me of what was the best parts of some of my favorite episodes of like the Tales from the Crypt or the Outer Limits when I sneak and watch TV. My mom's watching reruns, all her little horror shows, then I couldn't, my ass couldn't sleep afterwards. But there was always this surface story going on with the children in those episodes. And I really feel like that's something that Jordan Peele has internalized. And I thought it was significant that, you know, the moments that they showed you throughout her life. And I clocked the other thing that was going on at the scenes when they did the first flashback. Mm-hmm. And I know that's vague for folks who haven't seen it, but once you see it, you'll get it. It's because when you watch these kinds of movies and you get that moment where the family's in the car and they're heading to their first destination, that's usually the opening of this type of movie. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was completely brilliant of him for that not to be how he brought us into this story. I also thought it was amazing that we didn't get any actual scored music until the credits started, that we got a full opening sequence of that. And if you paid attention to everything that happened from the moment that that old 1986 TV turned on. That tells you every single different layered theme. And this movie isn't one of those, oh, the allegories. And I was like, no, everything is in your face. He's talking about like the haves and have nots. He's talking about power and control. He's talking about, you know, the performative progressiveness versus substantive change. And he's doing all of it in that opening sequence with the first introduction of the first family we meet here. Because another thing that people aren't used to is there's more than one nuclear family and more than one Black family and more than one configuration of a Black family in this movie. And you get them within the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
I thought that was just something that really struck and stuck with me. And I think maybe, Chris, that might be, I think you might have settled into that is like, okay. And you need more time and you might need a second viewing. I've already said I want to see it again.
Yeah. Well, and I think the reason why I'm like, I don't hold my muted reaction against this film is a lot of things you just mentioned there. One, you know, this is a great cast that works really well together with some great performances, particularly some great young performances. And some of these young actors like acted their asses off in this film. Obviously, we'll get more into Lupita later on because she's really, like you said, the linchpin of this film. But there's some great performances here that, and the film's also entertaining too. So it's like, even if you're not really sure what's going on or you're not fully 100% sold, the performance and entertaining factor of this, like people get fucked up in this film and that's entertaining enough to be like, you know what? Not sure really what I watch right now, but I'm gonna watch it again because it was entertaining. That was entertaining as fuck. Right. There's that in there. Also got to say, I got to love the fact that this is the whitest Black family I've ever seen in my life.
To a degree, but I love Lupita's accent. I love that I didn't think she could do that. That shit sounds so L.A., honestly. That shit is like prep school, Black raised around a lot of white folk accent. And it was smooth, and I didn't think she could do an accent like that.
I also like the fact that they weren't in any configuration of stereotypical to any stereotype of being Black. You got a little bit of a mix of all of them. Like, you know, the dad has just got a little bit of Homer Simpson running around in him, but he went to Howard, so he also got a little bit of the grimy in him, you know, and their kids are, you know, super, 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 super California. Right up until mom says, I'm done dealing with your shit, you know? So they are the whitest Black family, and then they turn right around and they're not.
Right.
Because they became very typical, like, and it kind of showed certain way, it showed things in a way to where it becomes unavoidable for people to say that there are just certain elements that when it comes to family that are just universal family type things. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, dad's always going to do something. And the one-upmanship that was happening in like the grown male relationships and the way that it came down. Like, I thought that was really subtle. And it's a very California thing. I don't know if it's a super white thing, but there's a very California thing.
And also, this is something else I was thinking about too when I was thinking about this film on the ride home. I feel like, and I also feel like this, and this is what makes me really like Jordan Peele's work here, because it's the same thing he kind of did with Get Out, is he's horror is this genre that can get very repetitive in terms of always meeting certain beats. And I feel like this film, while it does hit some of those beats, it also is almost off the horror beat sometimes. Like, certain things you think are going to happen don't happen when you think they're going to happen. And it kind of shifts what your anticipation is in certain things of this film. And I think that if you feel off when watching this film, it's because he's kind of playing with the genre, which I think is something to be applauded, because something that some people don't do with horror, right? Sometimes people do, and it's like, it just doesn't work at all. Or they'll make a horror film that's not really a horror film, or something else, and they get too experimental with it. This one, it feels like it's different, but still feels very familiar, and feels like I would like to see more of this kind of stuff, you know?
But we're not going to get that, because there are too many people that feel the need to follow so many horror tropes when they're making films. Even when they're playing with the audience, mm-hmm. it still feels formulaic when you think about it over time. So when I see people having these like negative reactions, and with your reaction, like the explanation, I get where you're coming from, but I also kind of feel that's a case of you have a Shudder account and you're a critic and you're not dumb, right? So you can spot elements that are pretty like formulaic for any type of plot
mm-hmm.
in this genre, especially from the very beginning. So it's kind of like, if you've seen 3,000 horror films, again, I got to reiterate, there's really not a lot of new things that can be done, but there are new ways to do old things. And I think Jordan Peele does that really well here. And I also think that people get ahead of their fucking selves when they watch films like this. Like, you're jumping like 20 steps ahead in the film and you're going, well, I can't wait till it gets to this moment. And when it doesn't steer that way, then there's this feeling of like, oh, this is offbeat. It's like you clapping on the ones, and you should be clapping on the one and the three and not the two and the four, Peele. What you doing?
But that's my point. I'm saying that,
like you said, it's a good thing. I'm agreeing with you. Just saying, like, people, I understood that completely, because I was doing that to myself. That's why I was so confused when I left. Instead of sitting there and paying attention and taking the film as it was giving itself to me, I jumped out in front of it and was like, no, dog, I know where you're going, and was constantly started holding the wrong door opens for the path that this film was trying to walk. And at the end of it, I hope, like you said, I hope we get more films like this, because it gives the film that rewatchability. We just finished doing a review for that Ruben Brandt collector,
mm-hmm.
the collector of film. And this film, I don't feel like they're too different.
Yeah.
In kind of fucking with you visually and fucking with what you're used to watching, the way it's used to playing out. And we talk about the Black family. There were a lot of people that dug into Winston Duke's character when they first saw the trailer for this. They were like, oh my God, he's so corny. He's so this, he's so that. And I remember reading that and I was like, y'all saw a 3-minute trailer and your focus was Winston Duke being a corny dad. Like, Bill Cosby wasn't a corny fucking dad. Like, there weren't corny Black dads until Moesha's dad was corny. Like, come on, bro. This isn't some new shit that y'all just developed. Black dads being corny has been a thing in movies and in television for years. In real, super real fucking life. A lot of you niggas out there got some corny ass dads. Them your dads. So you love them and you think they the coolest shit since sliced bread. But them niggas
are corny.
But corny, dog.
But that's why I feel like a lot of people who are coming at this movie and saying, oh, well, there's too many themes and they don't come together, or, you know, it felt repetitive, or I didn't get where it was going and I got frustrated. Or, you know, if you break this movie down into its parts, you've got all these phenomenal things. But when you put them together, it doesn't really work. They have an unrealistic expectation of life. And I really feel like this was those elements of people talking about this movie and those elements that people got hung up on this movie have a lot to do with what you were saying about, oh, I know where this is going. And people check out. And the second they check out, they miss something that tells them something somewhere else. At every single stage of this movie, you should have known big picture what was going to happen next.
Yeah.
Because he told you. And if you didn't, like, I'm not saying that this is the greatest thing ever. I'm saying that Jordan Peele takes the things that I think are quintessentially essential to horror and suspense and thriller and mystery, and he shakes them all up in a dish, and then he throws them into something in such a way that it gives you just this slight discomfort because you know he's talking about something that we ignore in real life that's unpalatable. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the people who are coming at this movie who only want to talk about individual scenes and take a theme in isolation don't like the fact that life is messy like this. Like, so you come into this movie and you think this is about a family that's in a house where someone comes in. And we have how many movies do we know like that have that as the horror trope?
The home invasion shit is very slasherish. So this
right, but how many of them actually come in and that's where you get the most poignant and purposeful speech from your villain? Like right up there at that front. How many movies actually give you that then? Like what you were talking about, you need to go back and hear her say it again.
But I mean, yeah, how many home invasion films happen that fast as well? Like you watch the trailer and y'all are probably thinking that this home invasion shit is going to take at least 30 minutes. It doesn't. It's really fast because you have an unprepared family versus some prepared homicidal maniacs. It most home invasions don't take 90 minutes. Okay. So like that, and that makes sense. And that also, that pulls back to what you're saying about us getting that speech that early.
Well,
it being that early is going to be what leaves people lost in the end because right. They're not going to remember it. You know what I noticed when Lupita was talking, when Bad Peter was talking, when Cray Peter was talking, a lot of people were laughing. A lot of people were like, why does she sound like that? What's up with that voice? All that shit is important. But in the moment, you don't know it's important because you might be laughing at the way her voice sounds. But you're not listening to what she's saying. You're not listening.
Or the fact that she's talking at all.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you're, right. Man. Right. See, but they're not going to figure that shit out. If they, and that's, I'm telling you, so many people are going to think they know, they understand this shit, and they don't. And you're going to see a lot of stupid questions come from people out of this movie that are answered right there in the film. And I'm going to sit back and watch it.
Well, I had people actually walk up to me and say, okay, so I caught X, Y, and Z. And I was like, yeah. They're like, so I don't get it. I was like, but you just told me you caught X, Y, and Z. And that was the point.
But they didn't catch A, B, C. That's why.
But they're like, but it has to be deeper than that. I'm like, why?
No, it doesn't. But I think that's the thing. It's like I said, my reaction would be if you come in and you realize that the movie's on, is not on beat, if you will. Your reaction should be, all right, cool. Let me go back and reprocess what I watched because, again, obviously I came in wrong. That's just me who came in with this movie having no idea what it was. I avoided most of this because I thought, this goes back to what you were saying, Brandon, which was when people, and I said this online, and people were yelling at people who were saying this stuff going like, you guys are trying to psychoanalyze a 2.5 minute trailer. You should probably stop because if you go down this path and go down too far with all we have is this trailer, you're going to end up, you know, kind of talking yourself out of the fucking movie. Or, like you said, focusing on the individual performances and not kind of missing the linear story that's there. And I think that's going to happen to a lot of people because they're going to be...
I didn't watch anything.
Me either.
One,
yeah.
Because it's Jordan Peele and that just seems stupid to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, and two, specifically because of what you're saying, all these people wanted to go do these deep dives off these moments in these trailers and, you know, his song choice. I was like, but we don't even know what the linear story is that he really wants to tell us. And I think that's why people get, I mean, come on. Like you said, every home invasion movie, the point of the movie is the home invasion. And this is one of the first times where you actually get a realistic turnover. They're in the house in under 60 seconds, you know. And then, you know, shit gets real. And then you find out, you're like, oh, wait, that was my entree into the rest of this. So, I feel like there are different things that I would have liked to have seen. I feel like there are certain hat tips that didn't need to be there. And he could have given us something and more depth somewhere else. I mean, he had such great kids cast in this movie. Like he had five really great prepubescent and teenage kids cast in this movie, black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel like I would have enjoyed getting more of that, because this is a creepy ass kid.
Look, all I'm saying is just pee in the water. Just pee in the ocean. That's all you gotta do.
No. But can we talk about the fact that he has made a complete and utter return of the creepy ass twin? The twin set. Like and he's done it in a way that I really do believe Stephen King and Clive Barker and Dean Koontz would be all about celebrating. But you know,
if I had a complaint, if I had to have one, I wish that who was the actress that was the older sister? Lupita's oldest daughter.
Zora?
Sure. Is that her name?
No, that's her name in the movie.
What's the
actress? Shahadi Wright Joseph?
Right. I wish they would have done more with her doppelganger, because that motherfucker looked treacherous.
I mean, that pairing right there, her, you know, the positive and negative of that young lady, that woman, that child can act. And that, I would have liked more with that character as well.
I wanted so much. If I had to pick, I wanted so much more from just that. I just wanted a movie about her going. Can we just make her the star of Candyman? Peele, can we just, I know you got an actor. Can we just replace him with her and flip her, the whole shit on his head?
No, her face with the dark circles under her eyes. I was like, you know what? Kill it. Kill it with fire.
That shit was so good. And then the way she was like, it was all cat and mouse for her. I thought that shit was amazing. And if I had to ask for anything more, it would have been for them to just do a little bit more with that pairing, with that cat and mouse pairing, because I was on edge at that point. And I still love the way, you know, the way she went. I thought that shit was cool. Man, this is just not a film that you can watch one time and be like, man, it's okay. Because I'm going to look at you and be like, okay.
I honestly think that if you're one of these kinds of people, especially if you need a movie's themes and message bitch slapped across your face, so you can walk into this movie and you can say, okay, every horror movie has these moments. And I don't really feel like he did anything extraordinary beyond what I was expecting his capabilities to do. And it's whatever. I firmly, honestly believe that you can walk away from this movie and do that. There were plenty of people who walked away from Get Out and felt the same way.
You were wrong.
Well, we know that. But they're also not wrong, because if you're not the kind of person who understands that socio-political and economic type messages are always a form of storytelling in horror, then you already came in the door not looking, or you already came in the door, if you know, you wanted more viscera, or there wasn't enough blood for you, or you know, everything was too low key, and oh, the moments were creepy but they weren't scary. This movie is disturbing. It's not scary. And there are a lot of people who do not believe that that is what makes a horror movie.
It has its scary moments, but you're right. It's much more, like, I woke up thinking about this movie today and all the stuff that I figured out in the car. It's very disturbing.
Yeah, I mean, and then you get horror movie purists who are like, well, you know, he didn't take this anywhere. When that wasn't the point. And when he really actually did, especially if you know anything about Hands Across America, he took this somewhere. He took this a whole lot of places, if you know anything about Hands Across America. I mean,
but why does that, why, yo, it, when those people start having those conversations, like you're saying, and they look at a film like this and they start to pick it apart with those set of tools that they're now using, where is that energy for all the other horror films that go in the theater during the year?
They don't go see them.
But they do sometimes, right? And they don't have this reaction, which really pisses me off, because when I see people say shit like, it's okay, or it's not that great, or it doesn't live up to this, I'm kind of like, what horror film did you see in the last 5 years that did.
Well, and it's live up to what?
What horror film did you see in the last 5 years that's better than this one released to like with an actual big release? The actual release. Yeah,
but I'm stuck with Chris. Live up to what?
Because well, this goes back to me and my Shudder account, right? Is that the thing I love about Shudder is the way it breaks out the horror genre into these different kinds of films. So you have your creature features, you have your thrillers, you have your suspense, you have your you know, slashers, you have your like there's so inside of horror, there's so many other things. So you're right, this film falls less into horror. Because, I mean, yeah, there's jump scares. I feel like every horror film has a jump scare in it. But it is more disturbing. Like, the things that make you wake up at night and or have it on your mind when you go to sleep are the disturbing elements of it. The things you're like, wait, did they really just do that? And the disturbing performances are what keep you there, right? And so that's the thing I don't understand. Like when people, and I'm not saying Brandon's saying this, but just like when people say this outside of this going, well, you know, it didn't live up to what I was expecting. Well, what the fuck were you expecting? First of all, why'd you talk yourself into expecting anything with a film that we literally, like if you just go off the trailer, we did not know anything about this film going into it.
It's a home invasion film, and the people invading the home look like them.
But the thing about it is, even when you get the film, it's not even really that. You know,
right?
It's not. Well, even, it's not really that. Yeah,
but that's all you knew going in. Right. You knew that they were going on vacation, and that they looked out the window, and some creepy people were standing at the end of their driveway, and they figured out they looked like us.
And that's all we knew.
But to go back to your other statement, like that's why I said one of the things I really love about a film festival that's held here in California called Horrible Imaginings. And if you like horror, you really need to dig into finding out about that. Is the gentleman who runs the show, Miguel Rodriguez, he makes sure that he gives each and every different type of horror and where it comes from a section. Like, so it has a block. And, you know, short film and feature films. And he curates this so well that by the time you walk away from there, you've gotten a taste of all a vast variety of things that unless horror is really your bag, and even if it is, may have broadened your understanding or feelings of what you consider to be horror and what falls within the horror genre. And then you start paying more attention to, you know, is it a trope? Or is it a doorway that when you want to tell this type of story, you really should walk through? Like, I know a lot of people are going to get hung up on some of the more iconic visual moments in this movie. And I personally feel like this is some of the smarter decisions being made with cinematography and angle choices and angle cuts and edits when it comes to telling this type of horror story than I've seen in a while. And I personally prefer these over a significant number of the ones that he used in Get Out. And you take those moments and he walks through the different doors and he gives you these clues. It's like you get a physical house of mirrors, and that's about as much as I can say without spoiling. But the thematic idea of your double, the positive and negative imagery, it's more than just being your doppelganger. And once you acknowledge that more is in this story, you start to see the other elements that make the parts that feel disconnected from the main linear storyline make sense and come together. But if you come in this and you're only looking at it for home invasion horror movie, you're skipping past when they pan away and they look to something that's broader in the room, or when they do a wide shot and show you everybody sitting in the room, how they're sitting and what's going on with the mirrored body language and the greater visual of where they are in their time. Because this is also a closed room movie. Very, like, they go from one closed section to another closed section to another closed section. And that's something that's standard in horror movies of a particular type. And they come with their own set of rules. And I felt like he broke a lot of the rules. And that's where you get more of the sci-fi elements that come in when you start to get the secondary explanation. And it gets back to that wraparound of what's really going on with the main character, Adele, or Lupita's character.
Well, and yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to say real quick, because again, it goes back to, you know, when I was like, my muted reaction, it's like, well, it's also because, like you said, it's like, he's playing with the, and I will always, appreciate a film that's well acted, has some great performers, great moments, and the director makes it entertaining enough while also playing with the genre, right? Like, that's what we want, right? Isn't that what we want from films? And so when I see people, complain about that stuff, it's like, it's one thing when somebody plays with a genre and then makes the film so it's like, it's a drag and it's not entertaining and things like that. But this film, like, and when I say about certain beats, it's like, there are times with this film, like, you think the things are supposed to be serious and there's a funny moment. Like, there's a moment in here where they bring up the daughter wanting to drive, and I'm like, are we really doing this right now? Are we really having this conversation right now?
Bruh.
Are we really doing this shit right now? If you don't get the fuck out, what are you doing? And I found myself going like, you know what though? That's a good moment though. Cause that's actually like, that's a real moment. That's a real moment.
It's a mama moment too.
Yeah,
your mama will stop and have an argument with you from a motherly standpoint during anything. It could be the end of the world. Right. And she'd be like, you ain't holding that knife the right way, boy.
Exactly.
Really? I'm trying to stab a nigga right now.
Right.
Like, but you're doing it wrong.
But that's where I think people are going to miss a lot of things, and this is going to fall off for them, because this movie is for Black people. And if the greater audience and other demographics and ethnicities and race recognize and relate and get it, then that's even a better experience for them. But those moments, those are our moments. Just like you said, your Black mama will argue with your ass anywhere over anything, and she don't give a fuck.
And so moments like that kind of break up the flow of what normally doesn't happen in a horror film. And I think that, you know, it throws you off guard. And that should be a good feeling for some people. But you're right. I think a lot of people aren't going to feel it that way, because they're like, but wait, no, you know what it's like? It reminds me of people who are so stuck to a schedule, they won't look at the world around them. And so you're like, you just missed this beautiful creature here on the side of the road because
finished talking about Russian dolls this weekend.
Yeah, you're so tunnel visioned that you didn't do that, right? It's just, yeah. And so it's like, to me, it's like my muted reaction of, I got to see this again to really fully get my feelings on how I feel about this film. To me, that's a good feeling versus the fact that I want to see it again to do that versus, like, you know, a film where I'm just like, I just saw this film and I don't really got what I need. And I don't think I need to see it again because I can't sit through that again. Like, this is definitely a film I can sit through again. Like you said, to get those little moments, because that's the other thing too. It's like, even if you are, you know, you're not looking for a deeper meaning, but you're still trying to catch everything that's there in front of you, there's so much stuff there. And there's so many pieces of so many different elements, like just the dynamic of the family, right? The one family. It's just so much to dig deep into, or to fully understand what each of these members of the families is doing. It's going to take multiple viewings, right? And then you throw in the other elements here, and it's just, there's just, I can't believe this film is under 2 hours. Like, I still can't believe it's under 2 hours, because
he balances time very well. Like,
very
well. And let me clarify something. When I said that I thought people were going to walk out of this theater and they're not going to get it, right? I want to make sure that I make this clear that I'm talking about a very small group of people, because overall, I think majority of the people who go see this, especially Black people, are going to love this shit. Just based off of my experience of sitting through other films of lesser quality, but with killing and gore and slasher elements and jump elements and shit like that, people tend to walk away satisfied from those films. I think people are going to walk into this film, and because there are scenes with Black people doing some killing, they are going to be completely fine. And because it's funny, they're going to be completely fine. But before I relinquish this, I want to say that also, I think Jordan Peele is a genius just for not the opening with the rabbits with the fire ass beat. That shit was crazy. But the things that he does to have fun with his movies, like you said, there are moments that shouldn't be funny that are funny. But also there are things that he puts in his film, which a lot of people got sucked into this with Get Out. He would go back and they'll watch it. Oh, did you look at this picture in the background? Oh, did you look at this? Did you miss this? Did you miss that? See how they picked up the coleslaw with the fork? Mm-hmm. That was like quintessential. There was some type of deep metaphor and theory there. And I'm watching it going, nah, that's not it. But in this film, he actually does a callback in the very beginning, and it's with the films on the shelf as they're zooming in on the old television. And I was like, why? Because people don't watch films with the thought in mind that everything done is deliberate. Even when it's bad, it's deliberately done. Like, every once in a while, you get a Black Dynamite, and a lot of the shit that happened while the camera was rolling was shit they kept in the movie because it was fucking funny. But with a film like this, with a horror film especially, you don't just place things in certain places for the fuck of it. And he has a set of films lined up in the very beginning, and I made note to remember what they were, to go back and look them up later. And just my opinion, I think it's like a callback through his whole career, those four films that he had on display. Now, granted, it was actually like seven films, but I missed the three on the right side, but I got the four on the left.
They're all callbacks.
And from different eras too. Like, I thought it was all relative to this film, but it's not, because one of them I was like, this film doesn't have anything to do with this movie. And then I started thinking about what the premise was of the main character in that film, and I was like, oh, but I think that's a callback to Get Out. Okay.
People were expecting more callbacks or hat tips or to find some connective thread to Get Out and the themes in Get Out and or the people from Get Out, and they're not going to get any of that. And I don't think that you can even say, oh, well, which one do you like better, Us or Get Out? I'm like, they're non-comparable for me.
So
because
different.
They're completely different types of horror. They're completely different types of storytelling. They're completely different types of visual look, just like from Jump Street. And they're different references from his mind, like where he's coming from and who he's hearkening back to and what tropes and themes and stereotypes he's messing with your mind with. So I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but I think people got really hung up. One girl walked up to me and she's like, I couldn't get the whole thing about the t-shirts they were wearing. I was like, okay.
Really?
How can you not get, wait.
Really? When they walked in, you didn't realize you didn't get it?
No. Really? I had another person who walked up to me and she was like, okay, so this, and this. And I was like, uh-huh. So is that it? I was like, well, that was the linear story that was told here. That was the broader aspect of the focus of the visual storytelling. I mean, I don't know what themes, you know, resonated with you or what those things meant to you. I know that a significant amount of this movie, for me, felt like a deeper level of talking about scarcity and the haves and the have-nots and power and control.
Yeah.
And so when I'm sitting here and I'm watching this and I'm seeing these things play out in a small dynamic, I was like, well, if you blow this out, and then once you realize that this isn't just a small thing that's happening in this one small part of the movie, you're like, yeah, that's legit. I was like, you know, like, especially in this day and time and age, how much can you put on somebody and pay no attention to the consequences or the offshoots or the negative of the positive that you've received before that shit comes back to see you. I mean, Black people know. It's because we found out exactly how much it would be at an election when y'all pick your president.
Nobody to that runoff shit. They don't pay attention to that.
Right, but I don't really feel like it was runoff stuff. I thought that was front and center and in your face. So I think maybe she felt like my answer was flippant or that I was disregarding it. But my job is not to tell you what themes and what this movie is supposed to evoke for you and how it's supposed to resonate with you. I could tell you how it resonated with me, but you know, you want my PR response. That's like 50 words or less. You're not going to get my review in the hallway. I got to write it down and I got to think about it. But this movie also felt like, to me, there was a whole lot of themes that had to do with being a female and being overlooked. There's this just one moment where they're having a mom and dad or fighting argument where it felt different from every single time Lupita had tried to get Gabe to listen to her and they showed you the snap, and most movies don't give you that moment of what a woman looks like when she's just done with this, when she's, I'm tired of talking, I'm not repeating myself no more, I said what I said, this is happening. And the way that they gave you that moment, I thought was just really brilliantly done. And I think a lot of people are going to miss it because they're going to get hung up with where they are when they're having that argument. And they're going to miss the subtle stuff that's happening around them when they're sitting in that room. And I don't really know how you tell someone, I can't tell you how to connect to this movie without sounding kind of condescending, you know, once you've gotten a linear story. But this is, I'm with you. I always feel like a movie that makes me want to go back and see it again because there's just so much more and it's dense isn't a negative for me. But I do feel like a lot of people are single note horror movie people. So once you go outside of that silo or you flip the script on them and you start talking about a different kind of horror movie trope within one that they don't feel fits in the type of movie in the door you've walked them through, it's a complaint. They get frustrated. Oh, this doesn't have anything to do anything. Oh, this was so obvious as to have no purpose. And that's where I feel like, okay, I missed something. If this felt so obvious to me that it seemed like there was no reason why he should have done this, I missed something and I need to see it again. One, because it's cool. And two, you got a little boy who's creepy and feral and likes fire. And four, because I feel disconnected from this moment where I didn't a moment before, so I missed something. If that makes any kind of sense.
No, I get it. And it's on the flip side, I could easily tell people that this film has like elements of Demolition Man. And it'll be like, what? Exactly. Go watch the fucking movie. Because you're not going to get any of that from the trailer. You have no idea what the fuck I was talking about. And people need to actually sit and pay attention. Now, I thought that's what you're supposed to do in a theater with popcorn and a drink. But, you know, people were talking about, I saw one of the tweet that was getting passed around where the guy was like, Avengers Endgame is a film that you go see with a person who knows not to talk to you during the movie for like the whole time. Like, don't ask me shit. And I thought the same sentiment was here for Get Out. I mean, for Us. So, I don't have any patience. Like, I understand, like, Chris and where he's coming from, but I see movies with Chris. Others, I don't necessarily have the patience, even that you had, to sit and clarify things for people that are right there in front of their face.
So you watched this movie and I told you some of the themes that jumped out for me. What are some of the things that kind of connected and resonated with you? Because I don't think that's necessarily clarifying a movie for someone as it is maybe telling them why this worked for you and why it fit in the narrative story that was being told. Maybe that's the difference in the conversation we're having. I don't know.
Probably, because my thing isn't about necessarily like themes connecting to anything social or I don't know what Hands Across America is. That like that part of the film, I would have to actually go look up to get that what the connection is with that organization or and whatnot, right? So that isn't the stuff that I'm necessarily talking about thematically. What I'm more talking about is the structure and the layout and the progression of the film, where people are saying that if your argument is it is basic or why did they do this? Why didn't they do this? Those are the conversations that I typically have with people. For instance, I had a conversation last week with a person about The Dark Knight. And I was saying that The Dark Knight cannot be your favorite trilogy. The Dark Knight trilogy cannot be your favorite superhero trilogy. And so somebody explains to me how the fuck Michael Jai White died. And I had a guy who was adamant to argue with me that he was killed in front of you right on screen. And I was like, no, you saw his body fall, but you did not see how he died. And sent me the YouTube clip, which I had already watched, which I've seen the film a million times. I fucking own it. And I'm like, bruh, there are certain things that get that irk my nerves in films. And of all of the scenes in The Dark Knight Rises, that scene irked me the most when I went to see it in theaters. So you're having a debate with somebody that since that movie has come out has not been able to let go of that scene. And he, you know, he's like, it's right there in front of you. You should just know he killed him. Right. I know he killed him. I didn't say he didn't kill him. I said, how'd he die? And that's stuff that sticks out to me in relation to what I'm saying for us. The reason I bring that up is there are people who are going to argue about things that happened in this film. And they're going to go, I don't know why they would do that. Why didn't they do it this way? And I'm going to say that that answer is there in the film right in front of you. Whereas with The Dark Knight, it was absolutely, positively, I'd bet my house on it, an editing issue. They edited that scene terrible. That's why it plays out like that. But with this, I don't feel like there's
okay, any, I can see editing. That.
I don't feel like there's any point. Like, why would you chain someone to a table? Keep watching the fucking movie. There's a reason. Why are they carrying around scissors? There's a reason.
Well, if you don't catch that, then like, no one can help.
That's a more blatant one. But for instance, why did this person get killed and why didn't this person get killed? Why did one person feel a certain way about this person, but didn't feel that way about this person? Or does that person feel anything about anything? People are going to miss certain subtleties like that because they're going to be so caught up in the killing and the massacring and just the overall craziness that are these crazies. I'm not going to have a debate about like what themes stick out to you because I think that can be a bit objective, but I think it's more often subjective. I think it's what you can get from the film. I definitely think there are things that Peele was saying, but I also think there are things that you can get from what he said that he wasn't necessarily trying to say. And I think that's just, you know, that comes with genius, honestly. People don't be realizing they saying shit that they actually saying. That's not in a negative way either. But as far as like the structure of the film, and are we talking about, is it technically a good film? That's the conversation I'm having with people. That's the conversation that I don't want to have with this film. Because I see too many terrible fucking films throughout the year.
So, well, if you're finding things to take technical issue with in this film, then you are super duper nitpicking.
But I don't
understand. You're not happy that he relit something that's a direct hat tip and an or a flat out homage to something from a previous horror movie and or TV show or vignette.
I don't even want to take it that far with them, though, because I don't
want the only ones I'm willing to acknowledge.
I get that, but I'm talking to the ordinary Joe film Negro. Okay, I'm not talking about people who are into noir and stuff like that. Like, of course, you shouldn't have conversations with people who claim to be movie buffs that ask dumb questions about technical aspects of this film not working out for them that absolutely do fucking work. I'm talking about people that are walking into this and be like, why didn't she stab when she could have jabbed? Like, shit like that is what is going to irk me.
That was going to drive me crazy with that. Yeah, bro, I'm good. I'm just listening to you guys talk. What drives me crazy about that is, and that goes back to what I was saying about when I made the joke about this being the whitest black family, is there are certain things that I know what's going to happen. You're going to see some black people who have issues with the way this family is because they don't act the way that they think black people would act in a horror film, which I go is, then you have no film, right? It's like they're acting like a normal family would. Like you said, that joking, that argument that happens in the car where you're just like, yo, if you guys don't get the fuck into the car right now, mm-hmm. What are you doing? You can't nitpick that scene because I watch a lot of dumb white people do a lot of dumb things in horror films and nobody says shit about that shit. So it's like anybody who has that kind of problem with this film, I'm just, I can't take that seriously because now
they need to go back and examine what they consider to be blackness. And I think that's also a point of what he's saying in this movie. Well, so.
That's absolutely a thing there. But also it goes back to the thing. It was like, some of y'all just aren't horror film fans. Because this film is definitely, it takes there's a lot of things that it reminds me of some of the things that I saw when people complain about The Last Jedi. And I'm like, yo, you don't like that? Oh, you didn't like that scene? Oh, but you love the original trilogy, right? It's the same fucking thing. The same fucking theme. They actually just did it better in The Last Jedi. So what are you really complaining about? What is really your issue? Is it the fact that in this film is done with a black family? And so then all of a sudden things change? Like, those are the things that I'm like, okay, I understand saying you need more time to process the film. But when you complain about things like that where you have an issue with it happening in this film, but it's a straight homage to something else that happens in a more classic horror film, why do you have a problem with it now? You love it when it happened before. You loved it when it was in The Shining. You loved it when it was in the Hitchcock film. But all of a sudden now you have a problem with it because Jordan Peele did it?
That's what I'm saying when people like, if this film is aight. But that wasn't the same reaction when we saw The Crazies. That was not the reaction to The Crazies. The reaction to The Crazy was, yo, that film is dope. That shit, that film is actually crazy. So I'm watching this and I'm like, this is The Crazies with actual story depth to it. So you get more from it. So what's the problem? Oh, I've seen it before. Right, but you haven't though. You haven't seen it. Man, y'all seen 20 Freddy Krueger films before. What that got to do with which ones you like? If you like number 6 more than number 1, I'm pretty sure it was some repetitive shit in 6 that they'd already did 5 times before that one. That doesn't mean that it's not a good film in its own just because it uses some elements that you're used to and honestly should be checking for if you go into the theaters to see the 6th Freddy Krueger film.
You're
going to see the horror film, man. This is what we're here for. Like, what did you come here for? For Jordan Peele to reach deep into your black psyche and pull out some shit that you've been trying to hold deep down while living here in this here America? Like, that's okay, we got that, we Get Out. Cool. He said he wasn't trying to do that to that degree with this. Y'all should have believed him.
But there's the other thing, too, is this is a type of horror film that normally floats under the radar. This to me, is a horror film for people who really do enjoy horror films and watch horror films. It just so happens because Jordan Peele had that breakout with Get Out that it's gotten so much attention. But this is a horror film I could absolutely say if it wasn't Jordan Peele, first of all, it wouldn't be made because obviously.
Yeah.
But if you didn't have the name, right? If we were already checking for Jordan Peele and this film after Get Out, this is a film that would have come out and wouldn't have had a lot of fanfare by it. And people would have watched it like 2-3 years after it came out and been like, yeah, that film was fucking good.
This could have easily been your next.
Yeah.
It could have fallen into that category.
You're absolutely right. That is a... Can I remember when you talked about your next, you're like, yo, why didn't anybody talk about that film? That film's actually really, really fucking good. It takes what you think is going to happen, which again, same kind of way, right? Which is a home invasion film. Flips on his head and turns your protagonist into somebody you're like, oh, whoa, they normally don't do this in these kind of films, right?
And it's gruesome.
And it's very, very gruesome. And Us is that type of film. Us is the type of film that, again, if we weren't already checking for Jordan Peele, I believe it would have fallen, it would be one of those films talked about in the circles of, like, Us being, you know, people who watch films all the time going like, yo, man, Us was a really good fucking film that nobody talks about, man. It's like people should have gone to see Us, man. I didn't even know. I don't remember it came out in the theaters, right? And I think because of his status right now, this is a film that normally floats on the radar that's getting the budget to promote. And honestly, if you think, if we're going to be honest here, even the promotion and marketing for this film hasn't really been a lot. It's basically been
money. He took less money than they offered him.
Right.
But it still took 5 times more than what he used to make Get Out. Right. So he took 5 times more than the budget he had for Get Out and still took less than white people were willing to give him because he wanted to create a higher percentage of the creative control. He didn't want the studios fucking with this film. And I could easily see a studio stepping in here and fucking this film up.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Fucking sideways all around.
Because they would have wanted a different edit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They would have wanted the story told in a different order. They definitely would have wanted something to be more of the climactic moments, and they would have wanted to eliminate some people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely agree with that. Like I said, this is even my, again, muted reaction. Because it's not like, this is not me going out, I didn't like the film. It's like, I liked it, but I'm still trying to figure out why I liked it. Even that, it's like, oh no, this is a good film. Like, you can't, and you couldn't have made this film, like, I already know that any other edit and another, I know what the studio would have wanted to do to make it feel more traditional. And I know I wouldn't have liked that. Like, I just know that I'm still trying to process this film, but I know that one would have been something I would have fucking hated. And it would have been way more transparent and way more, I don't want to say, yeah, way more heavy-handed. And that would not have worked for this at all. We already talked about this. Like, Lupita's does great performances. She's obviously, she pulls a lot of weight in this film, and just she pulled a lot of weight, but she also had fun making this film. I think.
Oh, hell yeah. I think
that she had a lot of fun making this film.
I hope so.
Right at the end?
Yeah.
I can't imagine as an actress of Lupita's stature right now, and the way she seems to just be enjoying the hell out of her Hollywood existence, that she got to do a film. I feel like people do films like this earlier in their career. Like you said, fly under the radar type films where you go back and you're like, did you see this film that she was in earlier though? Like, she was legit fucking crazy. That shit was great. And now she's doing romantic comedies and The Notebook 3, right? Getting paper because she's a beautiful black woman, right? So they can put her there now. In this, like, Lupita gets to play so many roles. Her versatility is ever expanding. I'm like watching her play evil her and play good her. And then when you get the full story, you realize how many roles she's really playing. And I would assume that Christopher Nolan is going to look at this and love it for the layers to just her character, because every character that's frequently on screen has at least two layers. Lupita's got to have about six.
And you also got to point this out, the fact that, and this is one of the things where race has come into this, that it's your lead, let's just say the lead family, because it's all of them, are a dark-skinned black family, right? Mm-hmm. Which is another thing that visually also stands out, because that's not something that you get a lot. I mean, shoot, Ro, you were on, we talked about, the horror noir documentary, but like that element alone right there. And not just that, but then he's kind of done the same thing in Get Out, where, having the different shades of blackness and leaning towards the darker shades of blackness to make these films. Cause it stands out, particularly in the scenes, the flashback scenes. That really stands out to me too. It's like it really does matter, and it's good to see, because there's another reason why why I would say that anybody else other than Jordan Peele, or if Jordan Peele doesn't make Get Out and doesn't have the name and the all eyes on him, it's another reason why this film falls on the radar, because they're not predicting it might hit, $100 million?
Is that what they started off at? 40, 50? Are they saying it's more than that now?
Yeah, let me see. Hold on.
I mean, it has no competition.
Right.
So,
I want to say, I think they're talking about for just total for domestic, but even that, like, whatever it is they're talking about, like, it could hit and open up to this level and be big. Because this is like, and again, remember, this is not a film this is not a comic film that has a backing with it or a sequel or a franchise or anything like that. This is a completely, from the ground up, new film. That's not just a new film, but a new horror film. New type of, and yeah. Like, this is, yeah. What would you guys give it out of 10?
I'm gonna give it a 9 for the film, and then tack on another point.
So a 10. I'm not doing this for you. I'm not doing this with you. Like, I'm gonna give it a 9, but then I want
why
you to
can't
give
you
it,
just say you want to give the damn movie a 10?
Right,
because
right,
I want to make sure that we mention the score for this movie.
Oh, this movie is perfectly spotted. Between the score and the contemporary song drop-ins, it's damn near perfect. This movie is perfectly spotted. Perfect use of every single moment. And can we talk about the amazing use of violins and cellos in this movie?
I want to talk about the amazing use of rabbits. That's what I want to talk about.
Fuck rabbits. I done told you.
How did Jordan Peele get that one rabbit to sit in the center of all those other rabbits as that camera panned back or zoomed back like Queen Rabbit? That's all I want to know. That rabbit was at fucking royal attention through the whole opening scene. And I love that. Like, that is a trained rabbit. Yes.
Nope.
Rabbits.
Not talking about them damn rabbits. Fucking Queen rabbits.
Bunny.
I don't mess with rabbits in horror movies. I'm not messing with twin children of any age in horror movies. I'm not messing with no fucking dolls. No puppets. No. I ain't talking about them rabbits.
Mm-mm. Cardi Bunny was at attention with his Grammy. Sitting around all them mediocre bunnies. I thought that shit was phenomenal.
So, Ro, who do you get the film?
I can't deal with him no more. I swear to God. Just shoot him in his face. This movie is a 9 out of 10 for me.
Okay.
I'm giving it a 9 out of 10. I don't give it a 10 because, like I said, I really felt like I wanted and felt like there was time for more use of the children. And I felt like they could have played a little bit more around with the greater family dynamic. And so, because I'm greedy and I didn't get it and I wanted it, I give it a 9.
Yeah. So we're just gonna go 8, 9, 10. I'm at an 8, but with the caveat of I want to see it again. And I reserve the right to up my score after seeing it again, because I think I will. Because again, this is, I don't want to give it a score right now. I really don't. If I could not give it a score right now, I wouldn't, because I really believe that to fully appreciate this film, it needs multiple viewings. And it's definitely a film that I highly recommend for everybody to go see. And now, that's something I normally do with all this. Sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, it's a good film. Like, Ruben Brandt was on this film we reviewed, and we're like, yo, we like this film, but y'all niggas don't need to go see this shit, right? Y'all don't want to watch this film, right? This is a film that...
I don't know, man. I think a lot of people who like us would like Ruben Bat Collector.
Like us, but we're weirdos. But that's what I'm saying. We're weirdos, so we don't count. Not everybody's like us.
We count. I don't know about y'all, but I count. You can't. And I meant... People who like us by Jordan Peele.
Oh, okay, got you.
Might also like Ruben Brandt, Collector. Y'all gonna make me verbally
like
you.
Us by Jordan Peele.
Punctuation.
Because it's got some black people in it killing people are probably not gonna like Ruben Brandt.
I'm gonna be like, the audience we were whatever. The audience we watched this film with.
Underestimate our audience.
It's a lot of Black Panther niggas. Going to see Us that's not going to see Endgame and some of his other stuff, right?
Right. I'm just saying. I saw the
and
the
I did say we some people. I didn't say everybody.
Ugh. You sounded like you was talking about the overarching all.
Right. I got me nervous.
Oh, my bad. No, I didn't mean to oversell it like that. No. I just think I don't think that this movie is that far out the side of the wheelhouse of some of the people who are gonna like this movie. I don't.
Yeah. No, you're right.
But the majority of people going to see Us, this is a niche film on many different levels.
But I think
the other thing I like about it.
But I also think that there's enough entertaining pieces in there that, like, the problem I have with some of these niche films is that you're either in or you're out. So either you're like, I can, like, Ruben Brandt, right? you're either in or you're out. Like, within 5 minutes of watching that, that opening movie, you're either like, what the fuck am I watching? Or you're like, what the fuck am I watching?
What the fuck am I
show
watching?
Me more. Right. Show me more, right? Like, which would have happened to the three of us, right? We're like, the fuck am I watching? Okay, let me turn the TV. Let me put the laptop down and watch this some more, right? With us, though, I feel like while it is that way and it does get like crazy, there's enough humor. There's enough like people getting fucked up, and there's enough like scenes of like triumph and entertainment value that people can still find enjoyment and entertainment out of it, which is not something that always happens. Like again, sometimes you're just like you know, another example of this, Suspiria, right? And I know that the one we watched, we're like, oh, they went a little too far. But like me and you, Ro, were like, oh, but like it's crazy enough, I can do it. And Brandon was like, the fuck is this shit?
Right? I fast forwarded the last time.
Right, he fast forwarded, right? Like, to me, Us isn't that. Us is a film that you can watch from end to end and be like, yo, I don't know what the fuck I watched, but like, you know what? I'm good with it though. I'm okay with it. Like, I think Us does that, and I think that's another triumph for Jordan Peele, in which that this is a film that, again, without his name, it would have flowed under the radar, but with his name, it's now accessible to a lot more people than normally would be for a film like this. So
it's a wide niche release.
You see what now?
It's a wide niche release.
Yeah, it is. And again, I know that's it goes back to, I think, the appeal. The thing I like about the weirdness of this film is it doesn't fit in the category, but in a good way. Because there's things that this film does that other films don't do, and you're like, I didn't know you could do that. And I didn't know you could do that and make it work. So, yeah, no. I definitely believe that, you know, after seeing it one or two more times, that my feelings on this film are only going to go up. Like, to me, 8 is a bottom of where this film goes. And it goes up more and more with more releases as you pay more attention to it. So, all right. What are we supposed to do? Oh, wait. Yes.
I'm just waiting on the think pieces.
Oh, God, I'm not. I don't want to see this. I've already gotten mad at the...
I didn't say I was going to read him. I said I was waiting on him.
I'm already mad at the thing he's going around with people who don't understand who Monica Rambeau is and but want to write all these fucking articles on him. So I don't want to deal with
it. The Root. We're talking about you.
The Root and all these other... Anyway, so...
Google is open 24 hours before you do your think pieces, folks. So...
No, that's not
if you don't know what Hands Across America is... If you don't know what a couple other basic things that are in the dominant story are, please, I beg of you, do a little research before you do your think piece so your thinking actually makes some damn sense. That's all that I'm saying.
All right, cool. So a couple things here. One, the Endgame tickets are still on sale for Endgame private viewings in LA and DC. So if you're on the West Coast, join... Ro will be there, so you get to meet our fiery new reviewer, newish reviewer on movie trailer reviews.
Fiery.
I'm trying to be. I think that works. and Shannon will be out there as well. So get those tickets. Go to endgame.mtrnetwork.net for the LA showing. And then also here in the DC showing, the live show tickets are sold out, but you can still come to the... screener with us, which is on the 27th. And again, the movie is supposed to be like 3 hours long, so you actually probably get more time with us at the movie than you do
at the, you will at the live show. Now, so, nigga, come buy us popcorn. Twan will be there. Deidre will be there.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there. Ash will be there. And we're going to be acting a fool before the film, but during the film, y'all got to shut up.
Yeah.
And then after the film, we're going to go somewhere else to act a fool. So if you got live show tickets, cool. If you didn't, you can stand outside and act a fool with us. You can mirror us.
Yeah, and then go drink with us after we act out. So it's gonna, the event is going to keep going. It's going to keep going.
It stages to this. You can catch up with us. For people, if you have any questions, I know me and Deidre are into the beer shit. We're also looking to maybe like go to a brewery on Friday. That is on everybody's own fucking accord. So you need to hit us up on Twitter. Hit me up on Twitter if you're not black on the privates or whatever. If you would like to go drink brews with us the Friday before. Because I'm trying to find a spot to go do a tour and then do some sampling. So
I don't lie. I live in San Diego. I'm coming up for L.A. for the day. So I'll be at the screening. And then I do believe we're going to go down the boardwalk to the Dave and Buster's and hang out and drink and, you know, engage in black shenanigans in public in L.A.
Yeah.
Black shenanigans.
So so there's that. And then also the link will be in the show notes, but we put up a new T-shirt. Endgame MTR t-shirt that has a logo disintegrating like Thanos snap. So you can get that in our TeePublic store. So I'll put the link into the show notes. So go check that out. I know some people have already bought those shirts as well. So yeah, folks, come out either in LA or DC with us on the 27th of April. We look forward to seeing everybody. And again, the more you guys do this and the more these tickets sell, the more likely we are to do more events later on in the year. So, yeah, we look forward to seeing everybody. So, again, folks, thank you guys very much for listening.
Hey, wait, Chris, I got a question. Can I fuck with y'all real quick?
Oh, God.
Real quick. Yo, what if we got a movie that was directed, written, and produced by Jordan Peele and Barry Jenkins?
I don't even know what that film would look like.
I'd be really happy.
It would have to be a psychological thriller.
That just scares me.
I need this to happen. I need beautiful black crazy people for 2 hours.
That just scares me.
I watch it.
I mean, of course I'm gonna watch it. Yeah, nigga, that ain't a question. I mean,
it would fuck with you so beautifully, though.
I think my brain would break, but I would be really happy about it.
The most glorious, gratifying mind fuck of all time. I need this to happen. Those niggas need to have tea and crumpets so we can get this movie.
Gentlemen, if for somehow you hear this, please let us know what we can do to make this movie happen.
Man. All right, I'm done drinking crazy pills now. Oh, taking crazy pills.
All right, folks.
Don't lie to our listeners, Brandon.
Up the nose.
Make sure you guys subscribe. Movie Trailer Reviews Podcast. Thank you guys very much for listening. Until next time, we're out of here. Peace.